Oh, we'll be playing more of Trajan Langdon this hour. He had the conviction to say the unpopular thing out loud for all to hear. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. Jeremy Otto on the updates. It's a Wednesday. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Jim. How are you?
Heather?
Great. Jim?
I'm going to try and make it awkward every morning.
You're off to a hot start.
Yes, here we go. Rocking and rolling. Excited to see you guys. Excited that I know that there was a lot of issues with the rain yesterday, but it was nice that it cooled it off for a little bit.
Oh, it was very
it's
nice.
It's a little steamy this morning, but at least it's not 85 degrees already.
Steamy in here.
It is.
It is a little bit. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Why do you assume it's about you? I just said steamy.
Only one of us has been featured in a dream, just saying.
Damn it!
And I just made it awkward. How about that, John?
Here we go.
There we go.
It's what we do.
4 hours of this coming up, baby. Let's do it. Rain did delay the Tiger game yesterday. They won, and one of the headlines, many headlines from yesterday, they are the first team in baseball to 50, count them, 50 wins, John.
It's so much fun to watch this team. And even on the days or the moments where they struggle, this is a team that has not had a three-game losing streak since the opening series.
Well, they just did last weekend.
Well, but I mean, okay, so sorry. What I meant to say was they haven't lost a series.
They haven't been swept in a series.
I will eventually get there. All right, take two. I'm going to do the Doug Karsh. All right, 3-2-1. They haven't lost a series since the opening series. This is a team that finds a way to bounce back. And yes, okay, last night it was a Scooble start. Didn't start off great.
No.
But it ended in another Scooble win. And it's just the opportunity for this team to always have the chance to respond. And they've done it.
He got ambushed a little bit. And this is what teams are going to have to do. He doesn't walk anybody, so you got to swing at the first pitch. They hit two home runs off of first pitches, and there were guys on base, so four for Scooble.
Yeah,
not his best stuff, and the Tigers win anyway. Led by Wenzel Perez, Dylan Dingler, Riley Green, who's unconscious in the month of June.
Yeah,
it's always somebody, but it's always somebody's. It's always multiple guys.
And when you think about what, I mean, Riley Green right now, he is performing not just as an all-star, but he's on the border of superstar.
Well, he'd be back-to-back all-stars. This month, is it like 380 he's hitting? Something like that. And he's put the team on his back in the month of June. It's been the team's worst month of the year. It's been his best month, which is what we talk about. Hey, who wants to step up and be a star? It's Riley Green.
Yeah, and in the American League right now, he is third in RBIs.
Yeah.
And the only two ahead of them, let me know if you've heard of these guys' names, Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I figured it'd be those two guys.
The Big Dumper and Aaron Judge.
What Riley Green's doing, and I know everybody likes to complain about his strikeouts, is establishing himself as a household star in Major League Baseball. And if you want, look, Scooble pitches every fifth day, and you could say he's the face of this team. Ideally, it'd be someone who plays every day. Ideally, you'd have a hitter emerge. And Riley Green's doing that right now. Big night last night. Dylan Dingler had the home run to break the game open last night. And you were hyped about Wenzel Perez not at the plate.
Oh, my goodness.
Who was more excited, you or Dan Dickerson?
I was on the way home from, Jack had his first mini camp last night. So football season is here, in case anybody wants to know. Mm-hmm. Listening to Dickerson on the radio, do we have his call?
Oh, yes, we do.
Here, this is Dan Dickerson. We've got both of them. So let's go with the first Wenzel Perez strike. It was so much fun. And you could see the surprise on the A's runner. I don't even know who it was. I know Dan said it there, but it was...
It just took such a good bounce off the wall that Perez...
Oh, he played it perfectly.
Yeah.
It was the timing of it, and then it was a perfect throw and a great tag by Javi Baez. And now, moments later... This happened. It was so much fun. I was going nuts on the first one. And I was telling Jack, I'm like, that's a great throw. And then all of a sudden you hear it again. And I thought, maybe I don't know, maybe there's something with the broadcast. Like, did they run it back? Are we listening to the same thing? And no, it was twice in one inning where Wensiel Perez from right field gunned down a runner at second base, throwing strikes.
Lee was the pitcher. How great do you feel that you have him out there? Because he gave up three hits, and well, there's really no damage. Because this dude's making plays out in right field. Yeah. It's great. Also loved seeing Kerry Carpenter go yard.
Yeah.
I knew he was in a drought. I didn't realize just how dramatic it was. Benetti let it slip 22 days between home runs for Kerry Carpenter.
Yeah.
He got a 3-0 pitch early in the game. They're down 2-0 after a slow start from Scooble.
Swing away.
And hey, 3-0. Do some damage. But that's the thing. We haven't really broken down Kerry Carpenter, and I don't even know if it's worth breaking down AB's day-to-day on the radio, but he had been putting himself in bad counts.
Yeah.
It's amazing what happens when you just take a breath, take a couple pitches, find yourself in a hitter's count. We know the damage he can do. I mean, Gov saw firsthand in that playoff game what he can do.
Yeah. I mean, it's so much fun when you're talking about individual guys that step up, whether it's defensively, offensively, or on the mound to stop it was three games last week. And I know that they won the last one against Tampa, so they didn't lose the series. But then they get the day off. And it really felt like, did it not feel less like when they were down in Tampa? We know what happened that last game against Pittsburgh, right? It was a doubleheader. It was rain delays. It was the longest day in baseball.
And then they had to hit the road, travel, play in the heat and humidity.
They get there
at
3 or 4 in the morning. They get up. They play Tampa. They lose 2. They look lethargic. They're just not playing well. Then they get a win in the final game of the series. They get a day off. And then this is what happens. The bats explode and Tarek Skubal takes over.
And you got a homestand here. A's next couple days, Twins this weekend, Sunday night baseball to wrap up the week.
Division rivalry.
Let's bring it on. By the way, I think everybody lost last night again in the division, opposite Detroit Tiger baseball. Mm-hmm. The lead is
9.5.
We get the Twins this weekend and then the Indians 4th of July weekend, like, or the Guardians. They could officially.
Oh,
whatever.
Suspension.
They could officially bury them both.
Sure.
You're 100% correct.
Have.
Yeah.
I know, but.
Yeah, but the head-to-head matchup and get the whole, Guardians off your back.
It's kind of cool.
Conversation.
4th of July weekend, they play the Guardians.
And Scuba will pitch in both those series.
You're right. Lines
now,
up perfectly.
This emergence of Wensiel Perez, you can't not play him right now.
He's an everyday guy.
So, again, we're getting a roster pinch a little bit. But do you realize Perez has 13 extra base hits in 23 games, 6 homers, 6 doubles, and a triple. OPS over 1,000, making defensive plays last night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to have an extra base hit like every game. So, I mean, but the fact that you have a switch hitter.
Ride it as long as it can.
That you have a switch hitter who can play the way he does in the field, that's going to be there consistently was my point.
Like, and you're talking about Carpenter, and the reality is he's probably only playing against righties. Well, you got a right-handed hitters who can hit against the lefties and Jamai Jones. So we're starting to see the roster getting pinched, and guess who's going to be back potentially next week?
I hope Vierling's back.
I mean, he's in rehab in Toledo, and it sounds like he's back soon. Reese Olson will be back soon, so somebody's going to have to go down.
So who's it going to be?
The easy answer is the one that we talked about in the bullpen. It's Trey Sweeney.
He's the worst hitter on the team right now.
But,
is he?
Am I missing somebody?
Parker Meadows.
Yeah, Parker Meadows.
Oh.
And I would be shocked. That might be the right decision, but I would be shocked if they made that decision to send him down because of everything that we've heard. I was listening to AJ when he was on with us last week, as well as I think it was one of the pregames. He was talking about how good he's been in center field and the defense that he plays. And I get that. But offensively, it's been really bad.
Yeah, and I think you got to give him 100 at bats. But the only defense in keeping Sweeney up and sending down Meadows is the infield defensively is a little pinched maybe at shortstop.
Yeah, a little bit. But Javi is the reason that you get to make this decision because he plays both. He can play center and short, so he takes what would be a pinch and says, "Well, I can play either." So there's really no question. Parker Meadows has a 600 OPS. It's not good. Trey Sweeney's is lower.
Yeah.
And Parker Meadows nearly robbed a home run last night, is a Gold Glove caliber center fielder. Trey Sweeney is fine at shortstop. Vierling, probably going to play more infield than outfield if Perez is hitting, right?
Right.
So you take an infielder off, and that would be Trey Sweeney.
And the thing is, you don't know how trustable Vierling's return is going to be again.
Right.
I mean, this is the last. I can't see him going through this whole routine again and thinking, oh, it's going to, I'm going to be good this time. It's going to either work this time or it's not.
Let me ask you a question, because the shoulder is the issue here, right? If he has a setback, can he be on the roster as a DH, or is that a waste of a roster spot?
I think you've got too many people that have to be DH.
I'm asking, because they're putting Keith over at third. Karp's played more outfield and had some moments. I don't know that there's a good answer there. I don't want to keep a guy who has to only DH, because part of the flexibility of this roster is they get to rotate everybody in and play all the lineups they want. To keep Vierling on the roster as just a DH, they probably shut him down at that point, right?
Yeah, I would think. I mean, especially if there needs to be rehab on the shoulder or any type of
surgery.
Intervention. Well, let's just say intervention.
You could say surgery. It's okay.
Now, the funny thing is, too, we talk about need on this team and deadlines approaching here pretty soon. They have the most runs scored in all of baseball right now, 402.
400 runs, 50 wins.
Tied for the second best run differential.
Do we pick this team apart too much? I mean, isn't the...
Greg is nodding his head aggressively. Yes, we
do. You are
what
your record is. You are what your stats say you are.
I'm going to let people in on a little secret. This is sports radio. We do this every single day. What are we supposed to say? They're good? I mean, the reality is there are always things to improve, because the goal is now to win a World Series, not lap up and beat up on a bad division.
Right. When we come back, it's funny because I sent you something on Instagram, on social media the other day, actually asking the same question.
We'll explore it next. 97.1. Guys, Moran Chevrolet, it's time to hit the road in style with Moran, Michigan's number one selling Chevy dealer in 2024. If you're looking to go electric, you can hit the road and skip the pump with the 2025 Blazer EV. Lease it for $199 a month. That's zero down on a 24-month low mileage lease. Only at Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Find your ride fast at moranexpress.com. Stop by in person. They're on Gratiot, just north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. We are going to play Trajan Langdon audio coming up 6:35. He had the audacity to say it. Good for him. I know that opinion is not shared by everybody, station or fan base, but we'll have that conversation this morning. John, you sent me something on Instagram about the Tigers.
Yeah, and it was Major League Baseball comes out with their power rankings early in the week every week. And I always get it on my Instagram, and I'm scrolling through, okay, you know, here's they give you the 6 through 10 on one screen, and then you have to, you know, swipe to see, okay, who's 5? Ooh, who's 4? Oh, we haven't seen the Tigers yet. Who's 3? And then I'm looking at it and go, whoa, who's 2 and who's 1? This week they were still at 1, and this is on the heels of a tough week against Pittsburgh and a tough weekend against Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing the got to get a couple of relievers at the trade deadline, got to have another starting pitcher, got to have a right-handed bat. We're sitting there poking holes in the lineup and then the pitching staff, and we can't get from the sixth inning to Canely, or we can't get there from, you know, to Will Vest. When you take a step back, and sometimes you got to look at it from a more national perspective. How are the baseball dorks in California, how do they view the Detroit Tigers? If you go down to Florida, what's the conversation? What's the threat of the Detroit Tigers? And then when you see reputable people talking about it, they're still the best team in baseball, not because they have the best record in baseball, but because the lineup is hard to pitch against. And we could talk about Riley Green, and we could talk about the deficits of some of these other individuals, but they are a tough lineup. That's what Scott Harris said. When we add somebody at the trade deadline, we want to make our lineup even tougher.
I want to defend us a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Those are real concerns in the playoffs.
Every team has concerns, though. Even the Dodgers.
No, I know, but what's the alternative?
Starting pitcher. The New York Yankees. The mighty New York Yankees, everybody is applauding. They went 3 games without even scoring a run.
And I bet they talked about it on FAN. I bet New York radio discussed it, would be my point. And right. We are fair to discuss. In the month of June, the Tigers have one of the 5 or 6 worst bullpens in all of baseball. And it shows up in the opener strategy they've tried to execute, not as successfully. It shows up when you don't have 4 or 5 quality starting pitchers.
Right.
So when you get to playoff baseball, and I thought you did a great job making this point, in the playoffs, if you can get 5 innings out of a starter, like Scooble's a different thing, but everybody right. else you're looking, can you get me 5? Third time through the order, I'm going to my super bullpen. And right now, we don't have a super bullpen.
Right.
So, and it's the easiest thing to address. That is an area I do think Scott Harris is going to add. I can't tell you he's going to go get Bregman, but I do feel like the bullpen is an obvious and will be addressed.
It is. I just want to make sure that we are, that when we address an issue, that we also follow it up with still the best team in baseball.
But we shouldn't have to couch it with, like, our fans are smart enough. I don't think we have to pat them on the ass every time we bring up a critique.
I don't think that's what it is. I mean, and if that's how you take it, that's fine. But and some of it is just reminding myself that we could talk about the bullpen and we could talk about not having a right-handed bat and not having a great third baseman, or we need, you know, maybe we just need somebody to bridge the gap until Reese Olson comes back. And Flaherty's been on a roller coaster. Mize has been somewhat of a roller coaster, but it is a good pitching staff. The hole is we got to find somebody in the postseason to get from the 5th inning to the 8th inning, to get to Canely, to get to Vest.
248-539-9797.
But it's still good. It's still a good team.
It's a damn good team. They're a 50-win ball club, first to 50 in all of Major League Baseball. How about this stat? The Tigers, in the divisional era, which is 1969 to today, have gotten to 50 wins in their first 80 games only 3 times.
Oh, how did those seasons end?
The other two, they played in the World Series. In 84, they won it. In 06, they lost it. But the other 2 times, they played in the World Series. Nobody's discounting what they've done.
No, and I think if you even go back to our conversation to start the week, it wasn't, will they win the division? I think we all are confident that that's going to happen, especially with the Twins coming up on the weekend. The Guardians coming up over the 4th, you could create a little bit more separation. It's not about getting to the postseason. It's not really even about getting to the World Series. It's about being able to win the World Series.
Bingo. Few ticket texts. Do you guys think you could make it the whole show without someone saying Oakland? Did anybody say it to start?
I don't think we've said it to this point, but thank you very much for putting it in my head.
Well, you know that you're not even supposed to say Sacramento, even though that's where they play their home games. They're supposed to be this nomad team without a home.
You look at the standings, and in the West, right, it's the Houston Astros, Seattle Mariners, Los Angeles Angels, Texas Rangers, and then there's the Athletics. Okay, where are they?
They're in no man's land.
The future Vegas Athletics. Can we say that?
I think we can. Ticket Texter says, if Parker Meadows is close, he is close. He's just late on pitches. The timing's not there. Hopefully it comes around. People pointing out last year, he did a stint in the minors, figured it out, came back, was great. Maybe he's the guy that gets sent down when Vierling's back. And Texter says, what about Jamai Jones? Does he get sent down?
It's going to be interesting. And the cool thing about it is, it's not an easy decision. And that's what's great. Like last couple of years, we had 3 or 4 candidates that we couldn't wait to see either be off the team or sent to AAA.
Ticket Texter says, hey, Cookies, August is the most difficult month for a baseball team. Don't say that any division is locked up yet. Certainly not before the first week of July. You can lose a 10-game lead in 3 weeks. It happens every year. Nothing is a lock. Signed, Paul. So you're saying keep the disco stuff hung up for now?
To yourself? They're the first ones that are halfway to
100. Make it a triple digit disco. Yeah. Nobody wants that. Let's get to Heather with the news.
The 4th of July holiday is right around the corner, and 2.6 million Michiganders are expected to hit the road. So be prepared if you are traveling by car for maybe some delays, right? So AAA estimates that people in Michigan will travel between June 28th and July 6th, with the bulk of those people traveling by car. 2.4 million are going to be driving probably up north somewhere. I mean, north, west, east.
somewhere outside up. The Metro Detroit
yes,
area.
Yes, exactly. They say the worst times for travel will be the afternoon to evenings between July 2nd and July 6th.
Not makes a shock. Sense.
Nope. Yeah. And then early mornings are expected to be the best time to have the least congestion. So if you're going to go anywhere between the 28th and the 6th, go as early as you can. Yeah. That's the best time. And then
6 to 10, use the Odyssey app. Listen in.
Exactly.
We'll and get then, you there.
I mean, you can listen on when you're stuck in traffic, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can rewind, fast forward, sure. pause, whatever you want to do. Anyway, the worst time is between noon and 6. And if you do plan to drink, AAA is offering that tow-and-go service again.
I like how that turned into a promo for the Odyssey app.
Sure.
I'm sure they're happy.
A multi-vehicle crash on I-75 in Monroe Tuesday resulted in the death of a semi-truck driver. The crash happened in a construction zone in the area of I-75 and I-275. A semi carrying aluminum cans crashed into two MDOT vehicles. And the MDOT crews were there patching holes in the left lane. There was a work truck directing traffic that was hit. And then after the semi hit that truck, it jackknifed and then hit the second MDOT truck. And unfortunately, that driver of the semi died there at the scene. They're still investigating whether alcohol or drugs was a factor in this crash or if the truck driver was wearing a seatbelt. There were two, I think three of the MDOT workers were like trapped in their vehicle. Or,
oh, wow.
One of them, all minor injuries, so they're all going to be okay. But I do think one of them had to go to the hospital. The Northern Lights may be visible in Michigan and as many as 14 other states tonight.
Oh.
They could have been visible last night, but I think our weather and cloud coverage probably stopped us from seeing them here. They say view lines for Michiganders will range as far south as Grand Rapids, Lansing, and Port Huron.
We could have a show viewing the next couple of nights up at Shanty Creek. Hopefully there's no clouds and
could be cool.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Have you ever seen the Northern Lights?
No, I want to.
Okay.
So this might be, hey, stay
Heather,
up.
I know you have.
No.
Oh, you haven't?
How have you not with all the trips up to the UP?
I know. We miss them. I've seen them on, we have like cottage cam up there.
Yeah.
So we've caught them on the camera.
Right, but you haven't seen them in person.
I have never seen them
goodness.
In person.
It is amazing.
I want to.
Tonight.
Maybe.
We'll be up there tonight.
But usually you have to hang out, like you have to be up late. You have to be up really late at the right hours, like 3 a.m., things like that.
You have
to
get up early.
Good conditions.
We will be up early.
The only time I saw them was when you could see them. I remember everyone was like out on their driveways here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, oh, the sky's pink. It wasn't like the dancing lights, right? So, I mean, I technically could say I saw them, but.
But that doesn't count because the same thing. We've had, like, there's so much light pollution here.
Right.
You get like a purple hue. That doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count. Did you hear about what was going on in France? These wild syringe attacks?
What?
It's crazy.
Yeah, there was this crazy scene that has been unfolding at this nationwide music festival in France on Saturday. Nearly 150 individuals were jabbed with syringes, and most of them were young girls, teen girls. This bizarre attack took place across France. I mean, millions of people were out like the street party, basically. They say in Paris, at least 13 cases were confirmed, and officials have not specified what
was in
the syringe.
Yeah.
They're saying it could have been maybe like a date rape drug. I mean, based on who was attacked.
Targeted,
At least three people had to go to that. I mean, it sounds like people are going to be okay. Some of the girls had to be taken to the hospital for toxicology results. 12 suspects have been
apprehended.
Arrested, yes.
Scary stuff. Yeah, it is scary, yeah.
It's Heather with the news. All right, coming up next, Trajan Langdon lays out what they're going to do this summer. It's 97.1.
Hey, summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and 0 bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so it's super easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes. Sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
We're going to kick off this conversation by playing audio from the man himself. Pistons president of basketball operations, Trajan Langdon, spoke yesterday ahead of the NBA draft. Reminder, the NBA draft is tonight.
Oh, it's tonight?
It's tonight.
Both rounds?
Nope. Pistons don't pick tonight. They'll pick 37th tomorrow. You are completely forgiven if I'm breaking this news to you, because I don't think the event could matter any less right now in the city of Detroit. We are not beholden to the draft anymore. We've elevated the franchise to another level. And it's led people to want to, hey, go for it. Go do something. Be aggressive. Trajan, this is your moment. This is your time.
The East is open.
And Trajan Langdon did not mince words. I thought he was incredibly honest with his assessment of how this summer is going to go. How does that sit with people? 248-539-9797. I applaud Trajan Langdon. He said an unpopular thing. You got a fan base that's hungry, that sees star players, and he says no to the temptation. He thinks. Like, if someone's going to be stupid, like there are teams like Portland in the league, I suppose someone could do something stupid. Well, but for the most part, he's acknowledging that this team is going to improve on the margins and lean on their internal development, which I think is the right move. I know it might not be the popular move, but credit to him, applause to him for coming out and saying the unpopular thing with conviction. We are going to let this group go back to work next season with more upside.
And continue to develop. So what does that mean? Okay, Jaden Ivey. I'm okay with seeing Caden Jaden on a 82-game basis. Like, what does that look like? Not that they're all going to play 82 games. Nobody does anymore.
Called 75-plus.
Right. And with Durin, with Thompson, with Holland, with Stewart, with a lot of these guys that are still young, yep, still developing, we saw what they did last year, way outkicked their coverage. And Trajan was very honest at the trade deadline, too. Didn't really think they'd be in that position.
John, he's been the most honest of any of the team presidents in our city.
And, okay, so there's only two team presidents.
General managers, you know what I mean?
Right, yes. So
Words matter, fine. The people making decisions for our pro sports teams. I think he's been the most honest of anybody. He said last year, I'm surprised, I didn't expect us to be here. And then he tweaked his plan accordingly and added a little bit on the margins at the deadline.
When you talk about making or keeping some of the veterans that they had. So does that mean that they're going to re-sign Beasley?
I would hope so.
That he'll be here. And he was not impactful in the postseason, but was impactful throughout the course of the season.
I think on the margins.
Do they bring back Schroeder?
Maybe. I think the question is going to be, does Ivy displace Hardaway and Schroeder, one or both? And are they better served adding a power forward who can shoot a little bit, again, on the margins?
Mm-hmm. So I'm not upset. This, I wouldn't have been upset if they made some very dramatic move. I think there's two ways to go about this, and I don't know that there's necessarily a wrong answer to either one, which is, I think, great to be a Detroit Pistons fan right now, because you can be very passionate about, hey, you need to go get Giannis. And we have those calls. We have those fans. We also have just as many that I think are in agreement with, because how many times do we put together trades, mm-hmm, and we include Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, and Asar Thompson?
And people bristle.
And they're like, oh, wait, no, you can't get rid of Ivey. I'm not one that wants to fall in love with guys, yeah, and says hey, these guys are not tradable. Everyone's on the market except for Cade. And if the right opportunity presents itself, then you make a move.
Yeah, he gave himself an out. He doesn't think they're going to make a big move. Something may present itself. I certainly am not someone who thinks Ivy is bolted down.
No.
But I'm also someone who sees the alternative of what I'm going to race out and add Kevin Durant. I'd rather run back Jaden Ivy, who had a big breakthrough season as a shooter a year ago and has more growth still. And Asar Thompson had blood clot issues and couldn't ramp up until late in the season last year. I'd like to see them all together.
There's a number of different ways that you can add to the team, one through the draft, which they've been able to do, and nobody is interested in the draft because we don't have to rely on a lottery pick right now. The other ways are free agency and trades. Right now, there's not a lot of great options in free agency, so that leads you to believe, hey, there's margin guys available. So he said, we're going to add on the margins because those are the guys that are available. And if you go and make trades, and we saw this with Bane, we've seen it with Durant, like what it would take to do that, you're going to have to give up a lot of your young players and draft picks to make that happen. And I don't think he's at the, or he doesn't believe that they're in a position right now to truly decide what is the ceiling or the floor for Jaden Ivey. What's the ceiling, the floor for Jalen Durant or all of these guys? Let's see what it looks like. We can continue to add on the margins. If an opportunity presents itself, we'll listen to everything.
Do you guys support his plan? We're not going to be super aggressive. There's more audio. And you may recognize the voice asking this question, but Trajan Langdon details a little more of why they feel that way. Not all in, not going to be super aggressive. He's right. 2 years ago, the Thunder had a losing record. 2 years ago, they had SGA finally making an all-star team and really nothing else around him. You're lying if you thought Jalen Williams was going to be this player 2 years ago. Flat out, 2 years ago, they were a team that didn't make the playoffs and they won the NBA title with a young nucleus. It doesn't mean you ignore making moves like Hartenstein or Caruso. Moves on where, John?
The margins.
The margins. Ticket Texter's upset. Says, this is BS. The Hawks got Porzingis for a second. Add talent. We have space. Signed Chris. I would argue Porzingis is a move on the margins. And you can be mad they didn't make that particular move, but those are the moves I think Langdon's going to look for, right? Kristaps is not an all-star.
No.
He's going to... Trajan to trade a couple seconds to get a player he did with Dennis Schroeder last year.
I mean, good for the Hawks.
Yeah, exactly.
The Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah. It's a good point. Jim, you really applaud that? He came out and showed his cards. Why even say anything? I applaud that he had conviction to say the unpopular thing. It's way easier to come out and say, guess what, guys? Yeah. We're all in. Everything, we're throwing everything we can to win the title this year. That's a hell of a press conference to give. You will be viewed as a winner at that podium. But that's not what this is about. This is about an honest assessment to his fan base. He left himself an out if something materializes, but right. For the most part, he's shooting you straight. I'm looking to lean on my young guys who have so much more upside. I'm going to try to do what the Thunder did, and I'm going to add along the way. We're not going to bury our head in the sand.
Right, and he didn't mislead the fan base thinking, oh, there's a big move coming, and then all of a sudden, wah, wah, wah.
Where is
nothing
it,
happens
Come
in
on.
The offseason, right? You get the 37th pick overall, and that's it. Not that that's going to be it. There's going to be some adjustments. There's going to be some guys that are signed in free agency. There's going to be some guys that are re-signed in free agency. But I am a little surprised that you're okay with this.
Okay.
I thought that you might be more of the... Gotta, you know, go get Giannis because the East is open. And I'm usually the one that is stay the course, be patient, be calm, don't make a dramatic move.
But if there was a team in Detroit that is deserving of patience, it's the Pistons more than any other. And I think there's this scattershot approach. I think Mike's guilty of it in the afternoons. Everybody always needs to make the big move, always. And every situation's different. Our hockey team is different. Our hockey team is going into the seventh year of a legacy legend general manager. There's a little more urgency on our hockey team. Our football team is chasing a Super Bowl, and our baseball team is World Series conversations. Those are not the conversations for the Pistons. They did a great job flipping the script year over year, emerging from the darkness and into the light. They're going to continue to build that way. In a year or two, we may be having the conversations with the Pistons that we are having with the Lions and with the Tigers, but not today.
The projections for Trajan Langdon in a year or two might be, hey, next year's free agent class, we don't have to lose anything, and I can go to Tom Gores and ask him, hey, are you willing to spend this money? If he says yes, now you can add in free agency without giving up your young players.
And this can be different at the deadline, too.
Also true. And we saw him pivot in season last year.
You know, so, look, they do deserve more patience than anybody. He hasn't even had the job a year yet, right? They superseded all expectations. There is a trend in the NBA that the big three is not the way to go anymore.
Correct.
And
it's duos.
Phoenix lost both sides of the Durant deal.
Yep.
So you better be careful. Look, would I support them going for Giannis? Probably. But I also see his point. And first off, I'm not sure if he's available.
Well, that's the other thing. So Trajan came out postseason and said things have changed. Is it possible they did some recon and found out Giannis isn't going to come to Detroit? So now, with the benefit of doing some digging, can come out and say confidently, because they're not pursuing Giannis, that the right decision is to avoid the Durants or way back when the Blake Griffins of the world? that the better move is, yeah, sure, if we could have one of the 10 best players in the sport, ear to the ground, we'll do it. It's not materializing. So, guys, the right decision is not to force square peg into round hole so that we can have instant gratification.
And I am curious for our fan base, because I do think the Wings, that's a little bit of a different conversation. And we can throw that in here. But with the Lions making an NFC championship game, getting the number one seed, and in both years, they come up short of the Super Bowl. Not just the Super Bowl championship, but the Super Bowl, not a lot of big moves. The Tigers, they went for Bregman, didn't get him. And so ultimately, not a lot of big moves. Now you're hearing from Trajan Langdon, they're not going to be aggressive. They're going to stay the course. They're going to be patient. Not a lot of big moves. A lot of patience with the decision makers. How patient is the fan base with that theory?
We're going to get into it next, and you're right. We'll talk about it as a whole, because Pistons fans are Red Wing fans, and Red Wing fans are Lions fans, and Lions fans are Tigers fans, and the mentality may be seeping in here. I don't think the Pistons have the same level of urgency as the other three, but we'll talk about it. It's 97.1.
Hey, let's chat about FanDuel, because nothing says summer fun like adding excitement to the game while your friends and yourself are getting sunburned at the beach. Summer sports are calling your name. Baseball under the stadium lights, and maybe it's golf on pristine fairways, soccer matches with world-class goals, and all the action-packed moments in between. If you are going to spend all day following your favorite sports on your phone anyway, you might as well make it more thrilling with FanDuel. Open the app today to see what the daily promotions are. They're going to change. That's why they're daily promotions. If you're new to FanDuel, new customers can bet just $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Open the app, visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit to get started. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I applaud Trajan Langdon. That's an unpopular thing to say at the podium. What do you mean? The East is wide open. You got to be super aggressive. 2 years ago, the Thunder had a losing record. Nobody knew that they had a number two. You're lying if you thought J-Dub was going to be an all-NBA player, a defensive machine. The Pistons have Jaden Ivey, who stepped forward in a big way last year as a shooter. They have Asar Thompson, who dealt with blood clots until late in the year when they could ramp him up. And they have Jalen Duren in there as well, all surrounding Cade Cunningham. They have a star. They have a promising group of young players. They should have won a playoff series a year ago. And they are positioned on the margins to add some shooting and take another step next season. We are right now living in a city where there is a collective frustration with patience. I feel it, but I don't want to unfairly place that on Trajan Langdon, who's been on the job 1 year and has done a hell of a job and is not currently dealing with a long playoff drought, looking at you, Steve Yzerman, or on the edge of a championship, Scott Harris and Brad Holmes. See, Langdon deserves the patience more than anybody else. I think it's unfair to put the frustrations of the other three teams and the lack of big moves on Langdon and the Pistons, who are doing this the right way in today's NBA.
Yeah, and so I'm not frustrated with the Lions, with the Tigers, with the Pistons. I am willing to be patient. I'm willing to allow some of these young players to continue to develop. And I've talked ad nauseum about the Lions and the fact that they are so young, and a lot of that improvement can just come from those guys getting better. Where my frustration comes, and this is where I lean on you, is with the Red Wings.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. Their building, and it's their building, not the Pistons' building. The Pistons use the Red Wing building. The Pistons are winning playoff games 1 year into Trajan Langdon. And I know it takes longer in hockey, but it's 6 years going into 7 years for Steve Yzerman.
Yeah.
I think it'd be wrong, though, to lump them together. And that's where I think Valeni screws up in the afternoon, is lumping them all in together. Yzerman, come on, buddy. There's a name to watch for the Red Wings we'll get to at 7:02. Come on, Yzerman, you got to do something. In the case of Holmes, football windows, three, 4 years at a time, mm-hmm. you want to capitalize on it. Baseball, there's no salary cap. In basketball, we've seen this now where it is largely homegrown rosters that win the title. The Nuggets, Mike Celtics,
yeah.
the Warriors, right? I mean, start looking around the teams that win the NBA championship. It's Thunder this last year.
Right.
You can
and
add
some of it's the adjustments on the business side of things. And,
with the and aprons
yeah,
and everything.
I'll let you try and figure that out.
Yeah, I'm going to give our listeners a calculus lesson today.
Uh-huh.
No, it's just the idea that you really have to do it largely within and then make a move here or there. What you don't want to do is say, I got to be aggressive. Let's go get Kevin Durant.
Right.
Phoenix lost both sides of the Kevin Durant trade, acquiring him and then trading him away. We went through this when they added Blake Griffin in Detroit. You want a one-year crack at it? I don't think the Pistons are right there right now.
No, they're not in striking range of that one-year crack, even though what is going on in the rest of the league may lead you to believe that that could be possible.
But do you want your general manager to compromise the way he views his roster because someone else got hurt?
No, I don't want that at all.
I don't either.
So I think the general frustration with the four teams is that I don't think anybody's taking a very big risk at all. And eventually you do. You don't win championships in sports without taking some sort of risk or chance. The Thunder took chances and risks.
They did. And
they
started
all this by moving Paul George.
Yeah. And that was actually what got them SGA.
Right.
And he wasn't SGA, so people go trade for an MVP. They didn't think they were trading for an MVP. They developed an MVP in Oklahoma City.
But at the same time, Sam Presti stuck to his long-term plan.
Yeah, we played audio this week of 2021 Sam Presti saying, shortcuts cut long run short. And we don't want to just make the playoffs, right?
Right.
But we want to arrive.
Right. But like I said, you find me championships where it's the team didn't make some sort of calculated move.
Tom, we could do it in this city. Brendan Shanahan, Rasheed Wallace.
Right.
You got to make moves to get over the hump.
You usually don't win it where you do everything internal and you don't get something significant from the outside.
Yeah.
I don't think the Lions have gotten something significant from the outside yet.
No.
I mean, if you want to count Goff, well, that's what triggered this whole thing. Okay, I get it.
But now that you're here, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
I think, speaking to collective fandom in the city, Lions fans are Tiger fans. So then it bleeds over and then it starts to... Well, you might not feel the frustration personally, John. It does exist in our listeners.
Oh, sure.
And those fans are also Red Wing fans and Pistons fans. I just don't think it's right to put the Pistons in the same category as the other three now.
Right. And the thing about Brad Holmes is I don't think he gets enough credit for hopping around in the draft. Like, those are measured moves to get guys, and he's been right most of the time.
Let's get to Randy, who's been waiting in Westland. Randy, good morning.
Good morning, guys, and Heather. I just wanted to chime in. First of all, I do agree with Trajan Langdon. I think that you need to keep your young guys, keep this team together. But having said that, there's a name that I was interested going back to the middle of last year. I started hearing his name as possibly being available, and that's Domantas Sabonis. I wanted to know what you guys think about adding somebody that can crash the boards, a kind of a bigger guy, and can shoot,
yeah. Good passer, so really good passer,
do
too.
Do you think that's even possible, and would he be considered a fringe player? Would we have to give up too much to get him?
I don't think he's a move on the margins. I think he would be a bigger swing. But Trajan did leave the door open. Like, if someone wants to do something stupid, take advantage of him. Like, I really don't understand what Portland did yesterday. Flipping Simons for a more expensive, older Drew Holiday. Like, if someone's willing to do something stupid in this league, fine. You have thoughts on Sabonis?
Would I love to add and upgrade the roster? Sure. And physicality, size, the ability to shoot? Sure. I just don't know that now is with what you have to give up. That's the issue. It's these players aren't free agents. You're going to have to give up some of the youth that you have that is still to be determined as to how good they're going to be.
And I'm more willing to do it if I feel like I'm winning a championship.
Right.
Which is the conversation for baseball and football. Texter says, I think all the general managers in this town have a pact to not outdo each other. Nobody makes a big move. Nobody outdoes anybody. Bunch of sissies.
I'm not going to...
You don't have no response to that. The next one... No, I don't think they have a pact. Texter says, very happy we aren't making any big moves yet. No real reason we shouldn't wait a year to see who from this group develops as that number two. Texter says, people love that Atlanta trade, but no way the Pistons were going to give up anything to get Porzingis for $30 million for one single season. The Hawks didn't give up very much. Look, if you want to say the Pistons could have made that move and given up a couple seconds, that's the moves that, Langdon's talking about. Moves on the margins. I'm cool with that. I would have been fine if they traded for Kristaps Porzingis, a big who can shoot threes on a one-year deal. You wouldn't have given up any of the young players.
Right.
I would have been fine with that move. But those are the moves Langdon's talking about.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take more phone calls on this, the patience question, and specifically coming off of what Trajan Langdon said, do you support his plan? There is a name to know for the Red Wings. We'll get to that after the update. 97.1.